Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. And Lord, thank you for the Holy Ghost. And Lord, that love that is shed abroad in our hearts this morning. Glory to you, Jesus. And Lord, may you increase this love in us and may it abound for one another more and more and more and more. And Lord, what a thrill it is. Oh, I thank you and all praise to you. I see it coming forth in the family of God. Oh, those that want to enter in, how rich is the land God causes to walk all the way through it, Lord. Happy as we go as our confidence is in you. Lord, that joy, your strength that just carries us along. Lord Jesus, again, a thankful people, a joyful people, a praising people. As sister sang, a worshiping people, drawing nigh in fervent love to kiss you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God, that we know the love of Christ. Lord, may it be our banner. Oh, the love that is over us. God, thank you for it. We're rich as can be. Wake us up to it. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Open your Bibles this morning. We'll be in 2 Samuel chapter 15, and then we'll swing over to Psalm 35. So 2 Samuel 15 and Psalm 35. We'll begin reading from 2 Samuel 15, the first verse, and it says, "And it came to pass after this, that Absalom prepared him chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him." I pray you know this one Absalom, and a child, a son, beautiful man physically, so gifted of King David, but so blind in his heart to allowing God and his will to reign in his life. "But it came to pass that Absalom prepared him chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. Absalom rose up early." Amazing what sometimes we'll get up early for, and listen to what he got up early for. "And stood beside the way of the gate, and it was so that when any man that had a controversy," I mean anybody that wanted to complain, "came to the king for judgment, then Absalom called unto him and said, 'Oh, what city art thou?' And he said, 'Thy servant is of one of the tribes of Israel.' And Absalom said unto him, 'See, thy matters are good and right.'" Notice how he could throw roses at him and shine them good. "But there is no man that deputed of the king to hear thee. Absalom said, 'Moreover, oh, that I were made judge in the land, that every man which hath any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice.' And it was so that when any man came nigh to him to do him obeisance, he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him." Think of that. So if you came and gave him respect, oh, he put forth his hand and he took you and he kissed you. "And on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel." And I pray, brothers and sisters, whether or not this is something you can take today, don't ever forget this sermon. Don't ever forget this sermon. This is something very vital to your life. There's nothing on my heart more this morning than the Lord cause us to be a more joyful people. Amen. Amen. And we know very clearly that in order for us to have any joy, it's got to be the Lord that does it. Amen. We can't just create joy. We don't have it. We can try to imitate something or whatever, but it ain't going to last. I don't want a counterfeit. I want the joy of the Lord. That is my strength. And the joy of our hearts is his love for us. Romans 15:13 tells us that all joy and peace, and see, that is so beautiful with the Lord. See how, again, complete he is. All joy and peace, not some, not pieces, not sometimes, but all joy and peace is in believing the word of God. But here in this passage, we see so clearly and plainly, when we do not believe God, when we do not accept God's will, not only is there not joy in our hearts, but what happens is we can become very critical. Oh, yes. And we can become very negative people as a result. And it's obvious in this story what happens when we become critical and bitter. We attract and we gather with others who want to be negative and bitter. Yes, it's true. Absalom had rebellion in his heart. Now, why did he have rebellion in his heart? Well, if you know a little bit about Absalom, he knew better than God. If you knew, and again, we're just speaking about another brother. You know what I'm saying? You know how that is. And, but he knew better than God, and he refused God's choice. And brothers and sisters, you think about this. How delusional and how poisoned in our mind we can become when we become critical. You think about how delusional to not rejoice that David was your king. To not be thankful that David was your dad. Amen. But brothers and sisters, it's amazing how criticism, bitterness, and resentment can twist our minds. It twists our minds. When we're bitter, when we resent, when we're critical, we don't think right. And we're not thinking right because that's not the mind of Christ. Is Jesus Christ critical? He's not. His word isn't critical. His word is encouraging. His word is true. See, when we're critical, we don't think godly. When we're critical, our minds are darkened. Our minds are confused. Our minds are listening to lies, brothers and sisters, and we're choosing to be blinded to the truth. Critical spirits throughout the Word of God, very evident in different things that it shows us. But I think about how critical spirits lift up a King Saul to reign over you instead of trusting God. Did you know that? See, those children of Israel, they got critical. They said, well, we need to be like the other people. You know, we can't just be running around like this. We've got to have order here. They were being critical of God. They were critical of God's plan. They weren't trusting God in his sovereignty to govern them. And so who and what did they lift over them? A King Saul. Negative murmuring ones the same way. You be negative, you murmur, you're going to have a heart just like Absalom. You're going to get up early. Can you imagine that? To gather with others that want to be critical. My first call in the morning. Listen to this. Oh, you got something to give it to me. Huh? Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, we need to beware because we stay in this criticism, believe it or not. It's always, the word of God's true. You're going to devise wicked plans if it's not nipped. It will just happen. Oh, yes. That enemy is a subtle stealer, and he'll rob you. And let me tell you something. There's no sweet-smelling incense from our lives when we sow bitterness. There's no sweet-smelling incense. You know, sometimes people can think they're sweet-smelling, and I'll tell you what. You ever been to Europe? Never mind. Those that have, you understand what I'm saying. But sorry if there's any Europeans here today. Sure, you have some things too. But when we gather with one another to be bitter, brothers and sisters, before long, I'm going to tell you what, the only thing that's going to be growing up in our gardens is stinkweed. It's a truth. It's going to stink. And I thought about Israel and the children of Israel in the wilderness, and you know how they murmured. You know, they just murmured, and they murmured before God. And I'll tell you what, there wasn't anything sweet smelling that was coming up from that. And you know, they didn't even have to open their mouths to understand that they were bitter. You could read it loud and clear. It was cold and miserable. And you know what? I don't want to be cold and miserable. I really don't. You know, brothers and sisters, I want my voice and the language and from my lips to speak of a hope and a joy. I want people by God's grace to understand that, you know, that guy, he's got honey. I'm not trying to sweeten people up, but by the grace of God to give people hope and encouragement in the Word of God. To people to perceive in my life that, you know, that's a positive guy. Not because he's just thinking positively, but they'll ask me, they'll, again, inquire about that hope that lies within you. And see, for once to inquire, think of this, about a hope that lies within you, there's got to be something going on that shouldn't give you hope. You understand that? If there's no reason to not have hope, why would they have inquired about the hope that lies within you? It's because there's something consistent in your life. There's something that doesn't change in your life. Oh, situations around you might change. There might be things that really happen that, you know, are tragedies. Things that aren't necessarily very favorable, in a sense, in the sight of man. But those that have hope, and I'm talking abounding hope, they have a love that's shed abroad in their heart. And when you have love that's shed abroad in your heart, you abound in hope. Praise God. There's something bubbling up. There's something that, again, that the Lord might cause somebody to take note of and said, my goodness, what is that hope that abounds in your life? You should just be like us, you know, complaining, murmuring, feeling sorry, or whatever it may be, because we missed so much, we squandered so much, or maybe because we deserve so much. But yet there's that content guy over there that keeps whistling and singing as he's digging a ditch. Doesn't he know that he's digging a ditch? Now see, it bugs most people when you can whistle digging a ditch. What's wrong with you, man? You're supposed to be just head down and weeping digging that ditch. Oh, but what God can do. That's the hope. That's the abounding, brothers and sisters. And God help us to be those that would abound in that hope. That, you know what, when we see things that might not be very pleasing, brothers and sisters, the thing we need to be is slow to speak. Slow to speak. The Bible says quick to hear. I even want to encourage you, be quick to pray. Quick to pray. As Brother David Coe said so sweetly last week, I love that. So many things. I thank God for our vessels in this meeting, every single one of you. But he said, you know what I've learned? I've got so many problems of my own to deal with. I can't be concerned about your problems. See, a negative heart dwells in discontent. A negative heart is not content. It's not. A negative heart is coveting something that God does not want for them. It's a truth. Now again, they might parade around as if they're following God's will. They might parade around like they're following God's best, just like Absalom and all of his kisses. Now let's go on over to Psalm 35. Reading from the 20th verse. So again, they might parade around. But see, David knew something. For they speak not peace. This is the 20th verse, the 35th chapter of Psalm. For they speak not peace, but they devise deceitful matters against them that are quiet in the land. Yea, they opened their mouth wide against me and said, aha, aha, our eye has seen it. Go on over to the 26th verse. Let them be ashamed and brought to confusion together that rejoice at my hurt. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor. that magnify themselves against me. Brothers and sisters, when we come up against God, we lose. We lose. Again, this is going to be some news for some people. But when you come up against God, you lose. If I come up against God, I'm not going to win. It's not going to happen. Oh, we might think sometimes, oh, look at what a big victory I won. But I'm going to tell you, someday, somehow, God's going to bring it. When you realize that you have leanness to your soul, there's no greater loss. Especially when you know what you know. Especially when I know what I know. Amen? You ever heard the saying, misery loves company? Huh? Well, I'll tell you what, same way with bitterness and contentment. There's a whole slew of folks just waiting to embrace you, to be bitter and not content with you. It's truth. They're just sitting waiting for you, give you big arms, and let's be negative as we can be. But see, I want you to understand something, brothers and sisters. Today's message, this is way beyond being negative. See, you'll hear that a lot sometimes in popular pulpits and things. We got to be positive. We got to quit being negative. No, I want to get into the root of what negative is about. See, it's the reason that you're negative. It's the reason that we're complaining. And the reason is always the same reason, is you lack faith. When you complain, you lack faith. I will assure you, it is impossible to be negative when you're believing the word of God. And that is the truth. You cannot be negative when you believe the word of God. You cannot be critical when you're believing the word of God. You can't. That's not his mind. That's not his thought. That is not his way. Because when you're believing the word of God, you're trusting God. When you're believing the word of God, it's Christ in you. Praise God. That same mind that was confident in the Father, that it's well. Oh, yeah. Brothers and sisters, I could sit here and I could tell you, get away from negative people. Probably not a bad idea. But just getting away from a negative person doesn't mean that you're going to be any more positive. You could even spin off, and could you imagine even to be more negative? You can still be just as miserable. But I want to get to the answer, and the hope is what needs to transpire is you need to ask God to ramp up your faith. See, when you believe God, you're happy. You're thankful. You might be sorrowful. You might be in a situation that hurts. But when you're believing God, you're not negative. Isn't that something? When you're believing God, you're telling him, Lord, this hurts. But I'm not complaining. When I believe God, I understand, Lord, you know what? You even brought this affliction to my life. And I understand and see in the word of God that it's for my good. My eternal good. Not just a moment of good, you know, as some will say, oh, he's just slapping me around a bit. God don't slap you around. Oh, no, he's so gentle with you. He slapped you, he'd kill you. You better know your Lord. He loves you so. We must not be critical once. If we're really going to reign and rule with him. His Father is searching and seeking one that's like him. A true worshiper, amen. Who worships my Son in spirit and in truth. That adds to the usefulness of the husband. And my murmuring and complaining does not add to the usefulness of my husband. Even naturally in our relationships, when one or the other is complaining and murmuring all the time, it hurts. It doesn't build the relationship up. It pulls it down. Thanks be to God, he never changes. I am pulling him down. But he's always there to lift me up. But I got to let him. I got to yield to it. But brothers and sisters, I'll tell you what. To get out of this, we need to truly be humble. And he gives grace to the humble. And when you have grace, you'll believe the word of God. But when you're going to be proud and critical and murmuring, that means basically you're deciding that you know more than God. And you know what he says about the proud? He says, I see them afar off. They're not in fellowship with me. He wants you to have that fellowship with him. And when we believe God and when we trust him and are confident in his word, let me tell you something, we have fellowship with him. See, faith, brothers and sisters, is so wonderful because it chases away this negative part of our life. Faith chases away negative people. It does in our life. It's wonderful. See, when our thoughts and our speech ceases to be like Absalom's bitterness, you know, collecting everybody, getting up early at the gate. Hey, you got some good gossip? I got some too. Oh, we even got the same complaint together? That means it's complaint squared. Huh? You know, we can really get some good complaining and murmuring going on today. But see, when that stops in your life, and you don't want to complain and be bitter anymore, they don't want to be around you no more. They're not going to want to be around somebody, praise God, that is lifting up a tongue that praises and gives thanks to God for all things. Huh? You think they understood David when he said, oh, let them keep throwing them rocks and cursing? Didn't understand him, did they? Peter really didn't understand the Lord. And Peter said, oh, I just got to get mad and chop somebody's ear off here. Oh, no. No, no. Let him go, honey. Let him go. Huh? Oh, yes. He's in control. See, when you begin to really live a life that praises God in all things and for all things, you'll praise him and you'll begin to be content in him that he puts over me whom he will. And I mean all along the way. From your parents to your teachers, really, professors, your governors, your mayors, your president. All of these things. It's perfect for me. It's perfect. Do you know without Caesar and Nero and being in the place that they were, it wouldn't have been the perfect place for ones like Paul and John to be able to receive what they were receiving? I'm not comparing anything. I'm just making a statement which is true. It's just a fact that he perfects that which concerns you, that he withholds nothing good from your life. So I'm going to ask you again, why are you complaining? Why are you fussing? Why are you murmuring? Why are you saying, well, God, I want it to be this way, when the Lord is pouring out Paul's gospel to your life? Come on, people. I don't want to be shut out. How about you? I don't want to be walking around that promise for 40 years thinking somehow, some way I'm going to get in when it was there all the time. And those joyful too, that Joshua and that Caleb, they weren't going to be like those old cold ones. Those ones that just wanted to murmur, complain, and point fingers. Huh? Right from the very beginning, Moses knew those types. As God showed him all of those wondrous things, he said, oh, you just brought us out here to die. We'd have been better staying in the hands of Pharaoh. People, God help us. And I believe by the grace of God, all, if not most of us here today are awake. But I'm telling you, don't ever forget this sermon in case you fall asleep again. Maybe we're teetering in a slumber here just a little bit. But God, help us to wake up. I believe the Lord, thy God. And this isn't about me. This isn't about anything. But I'll testify to you. If there was anybody that doubted in a sense where God was placing a man, it was me in my life. Jesus. This wasn't the way my life set out. This wasn't the way that, God, I trusted you for my life to be. But the one thing that I'm thankful I did is I shut my mouth before the Lord. And I tuned an ear to hear what the Spirit was saying. And you know what? I'm having a good time in Jesus. So let's just have a good time in Jesus, you think? And believe the Lord. And how wonderful it's going to be. Praise God. While every head is bowed, Lord, we thank you for your word and how you encourage us. And God, I'm here with my brethren. And I think of how you've brought us through the years. And Lord, you've shown us things like this before. And God, your word is true. And Lord, you've drawn us out. Lord, thank you again. We've been a joyful bunch. But let's just keep on in the joy. God, again, may just every remembrance of you as we come down here and partake of you. Lord, it is all about you. And what you have done and what you have finished and what you have provided. And Lord, I do. And I thank you in the precious name of Jesus and in the power of your might to have confidence in your word, confidence in your love, confidence in your leading, confidence in your performing, confidence in your perfecting. Lord, again, that you will do that which is right. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.